Well, what a weekend of boxing we've got in store this weekend. In Manchester, top of the bill, of course, is Anthony Joshua fighting Eric Molina. We've got Steve Bunce here to lend his opinions to what's going to be a cracking weekend. In a lot of ways, Buncey, the undercard heavyweight fight is probably the one that most people are looking forward to more, in a sense, because we're expecting Joshua to win easy. We've got a few others on the undercard as well. You love the heavies, Buncey. It's been a tumultuous week in many ways. Yes. You must be looking forward to this weekend.
Well, I am, because if you look at Dillian Whyte and Derek Del Boy-Tesoro, it's a terrific fight. It's an absolutely fantastic fight, because we know that Del Boy, even though he loses whenever he steps up, we know that he fancies this one. And we know that Dillian, we saw him have life and death with Joshua last December, giving Joshua his hardest fight by some. I mean, in all fairness, the rest of Joshua's opponents combined didn't give him as hard a fight as Dillian Whyte did. Unfortunately, it's been spoiled by not once, not twice, but at least three big altercations, culminating in the table being thrown. And I have to tell you, Lee, that the British Boxing Board of Control, I think, might take some drastic action. There is a very real rumour that they might actually stop the fight from happening. Now, that may sound drastic, but that's the sort of action I think they're going to have to take. They can't have guys threatening to kill each other, shoot each other, go out on the street, use every single obscenity possible, and then throw a table that could have taken someone's eye out, hit someone in the head. That can't happen. This is not the WWE, which is orchestrated fun, and you will notice never any swearing. That was very real, what we saw. Okay, so it was pantomime in the sense that, oh, wow, you get two guys together, they hate each other, they swear at each other. That was not necessarily orchestrated. That was inevitable. But the way that certain fighters recently, Tony Bellew, that twice now, David Haye, a couple of times with his reactions, and Derek Del Boy Chisora have reacted, including Dillian Whyte. Of course, they had that famous altercation on the set at Sky. At some point, people have got to stop laughing. And don't be at all surprised if they don't stop the fight happening, and believe me, that's a possibility. If they don't stop the fight happening, they levy a massive fine. Mickey Duff swore at Chris Eubank in 1994. Barry Hearn threatened to have him escorted away from the press conference, and the British Boxing Board of Control fined Mickey Duff $5,000 22 years ago. So for what happened when Dillian Whyte and Chisora came together, I've got to be honest with you, what's the appropriate fine? $100,000? They're barely making that combined. I mean, you have a situation here where these two guys could lose 50% or more of their purse. Mm. Something has to happen, Lee. We're at tipping point here. We can't have high-profile boxers in press conferences that are live swearing and throwing tables. And we can't have so-called members of the media thinking it's funny. You know, Eddie Hearn missed an opportunity yesterday. He tweeted, that was lively. No, he should have tweeted, that was disgraceful. I'm going to speak to both boxers and make sure it didn't happen again. Adam Smith of Sky never said a word. This is wrong. This is not right. What happens if that table bounces off the top table and hits a photographer in the eye or the leg or the knee? Or what if it is someone in the head? I mean, this is what we're talking about here. It's not a fake table.
No.
They're not skilled like the wrestlers are at hitting each other with tables and chairs and ladders. That's real.
The issue here, Buncey, though, is that, you could argue, I'm not saying I'm arguing it, I'm saying you could argue that the £16.95 for every Sky Sports box office that's bought is more valuable than whatever happens to Del Boy Chisora and Dillian Whyte.
And that's fine, except if you're Del Boy Chisora and you lose half of your purse.
Absolutely.
But what are you going to do? Call Adam Smith up at Sky and say, Adam, listen, I've given you loads of sales, I've lost half of my purse. Any chance of you compensating me? Do you remember, I think recently Conor McGregor was fined something like $300,000 for throwing a bottle at a press conference.
Right.
Give the UFC their due, mate. Mm. Give the UFC their due. That's proper money. And I tell you what, Lee, I wouldn't be at all surprised if we see something savage happen here from the Board of Control. And you know what? It's about time. Because if they only fine them $10,000, that is cut. That gives a green light to all future altercations. No problem. Have a fight with David Haye at the press conference. It makes no difference. What's $10,000?
Yeah.
This needs to be nipped in the bud now. There's been hatred in fights going back 300 and 400 years. Tom Molyneux against Tom Cribb. They hated each other. They had to be kept apart. back in the 1790s, if I'm not mistaken. I am telling you now, it's nothing new, but the board will need to act and act sharp.
We'll look at the Chisora-Dillian White fight in a little bit in more detail, but just while we're talking about this, there are a couple of specials on the on WilliamHill.com and on the app. Chisora v. Dillian White to end with a disqualification is 7-1. Chisora or White to receive a point deduction from the referee is 6-5. So interesting ones there.
That's a good one.
Yeah, interesting. Yeah, 6-5 does look nice, doesn't it? Let's have a look at the undercard then, Buncey. Callum Smith, Scott Quigg, both in action. Scott Quigg's fighting Jose Cayetano for the vacant WBA International Featherweight title. Callum Smith's in action against Luke Blackledge as well for the British Super Middleweight title. Both of them are very short prices here. Smith's 1-50, Quigg's 1-33. You don't see any upsets there, do you?
No, not at all. The money for Smith is on something quick, because he can be beaten quick, Blackledge. And Callum Smith likes to win quick. 10 of his fights have ended in the first round. So nearly 50% of his fights have ended in the first round. Blackledge was done in a round by a guy called Rocky Fielding, and Rocky Fielding was in turn done in a round by Smith. So I would be stunned if Smith doesn't go out and try and end this quickly. He's a notoriously slow start. And his last fight, Blackledge, he was dropped in the first round and heavily hurt by a guy who managed to lose 52 of his 61 fights going in. So I think that first round, Callum Smith to win definitely in about 4 or 5, but that first round's a tasty bet. I don't know what the odds are, but that's a good round.
Yeah, the rounds 1-3, so you get all three of those rounds, is priced up at 13-8. Round one is 8-1. So if you want to have a little bet on that. And Quigg, 1-33 to win this one. He shouldn't have any problem, should he?
No, he shouldn't. I mean, you know, he's floated around winning interim titles, defending interim titles. Then he stepped up against Carl Frampton and got himself a bit of a boxing lesson. I know he broke his jaw, and Joe Gallagher was upset with one or two things that were said by people. But the bottom line is that for 3 years, he didn't have a test. Now, we have a situation here where we've got, you know, guys that are champions who are fighting guys outside of the recognised top 20 and staying champions. And as soon as they step up, they found, you know, he found himself completely at odds that day. And it's made him unhappy, some of the things that people said, especially some of the stuff I said. But the bottom line is, you get in the ring and you run out of ideas after 6 rounds. There's no excuse for the corner man, and there's no excuse for the boxer. So it's a slow and long road back for Scott Quigg. But it's a 1-33. I mean, I think Buster Douglas was something like that when he fought Mike Tyson all those years ago, and people were outraged that someone could be in a world title fight. It's nothing for us in this country to have a guy in a world title fight matched at 1-100, 1-70, 1-80, 1-90. I mean, that's like Real Madrid playing Fulham.
Yeah.
You know, it just makes no sense. You know, we're in a make no sense business.
Does he win inside the distance, Quigg?
Yeah, he has to. Gets through in about 7 or 8 rounds.
Well, just by stoppage is 11-10, so probably good enough for us to have a look at that. Let's have a look at some of these, some of the more competitive fights here, Buncey. This fight, there's been a little bit of bad blood between Hosea Burton and Frank Buglioni as well for this this British light heavyweight title. The records read 18-0-0 for Burton and 18-2-1 for Buglioni. He had that loss, didn't he, of course, against Fedor Chudinov at Wembley when he lost the unanimous decision.
Hard fight, that was.
Yeah, it was a hard fight. He's won on his comeback fight since then. Burton, just been going along steady. This is his first... he fought for the British light heavyweight title, didn't he, against Miles Shinkwin earlier in the year, and fights Buglioni now. It was a good win, wasn't it? But he's kind of a bit under the radar, you'd guess. He's a decent favourite here, 130 on, so 5-2 for Frank and 25-1 the draw. Frank brings a big crowd, doesn't he? And it'll be lively. Is it a little bit closer than those odds suggest in your mind?
Yeah, I think it might be. I just think the difference here is that Burton is just that naturally bigger.
Yeah,
you know, Frank was fighting basically 12 or so pounds below Burton's natural weight a year ago.
Yeah,
Frank's always been a big super middle, to be honest with you. I mean, I always thought he was a light heavy. Maybe needs another year, two or three fights to ease into it. It's a good fight, though, because they're both very tall. Burton stands 6'4". Buglioni's 6'1", but I think he's a bit taller than that, to be honest with you. So Burton... Buglioni's probably never fought anybody taller than him, who's good. Mm. And Burton's probably never fought anybody who's about the same height as him, who's also good. It is a tough and hard fight, this. And Buglioni, has developed into a good pro. He's a bit of a novelty when he turned pro because he had 900 fans selling out tiny little venues and they were going mad and he was hitting people on the chin and they were falling over. In fact, he was hitting them anywhere and they were falling over. But that's nothing wrong with that. Burton has developed a little bit more anonymously and a bit of more obscurity, but he's developed into a really good pro, working with Joe Gallagher in, you know, in arguably the best gym in the country. And he's really come on. I think he's good pro, Jose Burton. I think he's a real under-the-radar pro. I like him. I'm a big, big fan. So, you know, my gut feeling is that he'll just know too much. He can box. You know, he's a traveller boy. He's got a good boxing brain. And I can see him winning, Burton. I see him winning on points.
Yeah, points is 13-8, so decent enough price there for Burton to win that one on points. We're putting together a nice little acca here, Bunty.
Yeah, we ain't messing around, some.
No, not at all. Let's have a look at this. This is a really intriguing fight. Khalid Yafai, he's got a 20-0 record. He's fighting for the WBA World Super Flyweight title against Luis Concepcion, 35-4, so four losses for the Panamanian, who's rarely travelled outside his native Panama. I think he's been out to Mexico a few times and fought. In fact, I think he fought for the WBC World Super Flyweight title and lost back in 2015. But won this one in August and is coming to
in
defend
Japan. He won it in Japan.
Yeah, but I suppose, you know, it's rare for him. But that Japanese experience will have put him in good stead. Not many people will think, you know, this will know much about Concepcion. And he's the outsider here. He's 7-4. Khalid Yafai is 1-2 to win this.
Wow,
that smacks to me. I mean, this guy's experienced. We know he's tough. We know he's been abroad. We know he's fought in world title fights.
He's been in dozens of hard fights.
And Khalid
Yafai, 39 fights. He's been in about 17 or 18 good fights.
Yeah, and Khalid Yafai, I mean, you know, good fighter. Obviously, we know he is. But you look at his record, and you wouldn't say he's had this experience. Can he step up to this level? Is he justified in being a 2-1 on favourite here, Bunty?
Well, I don't think he's justified in being a 2-1 on favourite. I fancy a win. I fancy he's fresh. Because he's 27 going on 18, to be honest with you, Khalid.
He had a really, so
he had a really good
it,
yeah. He had a really good run through the GB elite system.
Yeah.
You know, living a good life. And then he's turned pro and he's basically hasn't broken a sweat. I mean, that's not mince our words. So I think this is a case of him stepping up. If Concepcion's got about 60 or 70% left of what he had, then I think he makes it an awkward night. I think Khalid might get to him. And I'll tell you why. He gets knocked down a lot, and he knocks people down a lot. So he's open, and Khalid can bang a little bit. He's banging a lot more as a pro than he was as an amateur. 14 of his 20 have been stoppages, and he's getting to people. I fancy Khalid will get to him. I think he'll get to him in about 5-8. I think he'll get to him. It could be about the time it starts. We'll 5-8 because there's a lot of fights on the night, but on Saturday rather. But my gut feeling is that Yafai wins, justifies those odds, and wins in those sort of middle rounds.
Yeah. Well, it's 15-8 for him to win by stoppage, so if you're looking to put an acca together, then there's no need to be greedy. But if you do want to have a look at the round markets, then Khalid Yafai to win rounds 1-6 is, to stop it in rounds 1-6, is 9-2, and to win in the second half of the fight, 7-12, is 7-2. They've probably got that absolutely bang on, because you want really, Bunty, is the 6-7-8, don't you, really?
Yeah.
On those markets. A stoppage for Khalid Yafai and a world title as well. We're moving through this rapidly, Bunty, and we get to the big boys and the one we've already talked about earlier in the podcast, Dillian White versus Derek Chisora. This is for the British heavyweight title, of course. Dillian White is 1-3 here. Chisora is 23-10. Dillian White's record reads 19-1. That one stoppage, of course, which Bunty mentioned earlier against Anthony Joshua. Since then, he's won three times, one by decision. He retired Ian Lewison and stopped Evika Bakarun. Delboy Chisora, his record is 26-6. Two knockouts in his loss column. He lost to Kubrat Pulev, no shame there. He lost to Tyson Fury, no real shame there, although he might think there was a bit of a shame in it. Of course, he lost to David Hay, Vitaly Klitschko, Robert Hellenius. He won that fight, as most of us think. He obviously lost to Tyson Fury back in 2011. No shame in many of those losses. He was out of... He was probably out of shape, and maybe his mind wasn't right in the Tyson Fury fights, but obviously Tyson Fury has proved himself since then. Chisora, big outsider here again, really. You know, you think he's been there and done it. Is his best behind him? Steve, do you think?
Well, the interesting thing is with Del Boy, and I've been a massive fan of Del Boy. Yeah. I mean, you know, let's get it right. Kubrat Pulev was considered too good to fight Anthony Joshua on Saturday night, and yet Del Boy pushed him, you know, and lost on points in his last fight. The interesting thing is, if you actually look at it, he didn't get the decision against Helenius, right? And he didn't really try against Fury in two fights. He tried against Hay, but got done. He pushed Vitalinic three or four rounds. His best win, really, is in 2010 against what was left of Danny Williams.
Yeah, it was.
Now, that's the brutal truth. Mm. Let's get that right. What Del Boy's done, he's made a career out of losing to good fighters and throwing tables and spitting at opponents' brothers and slapping people and basically being a high-profile eccentric. And I love him for that, trust me. I've got no problem with him. He's gone too far in this fight and he deserves to be seriously fined. But those are the bare facts. Dillian White is hungrier. He's still livid about losing to Joshua. He's really livid. He's angry about that. He's had a couple since. He's got a couple of rounds in against Dave Allen, which was odd to look at. But at the end of the day, he's got a nice 10-round floating 10 rounds in a fight that was bad tempered in the build-up. And then, of course, he stopped Ian Lewison for the British title in the 10th round. In a fight that was bad tempered in the build-up. Hey, there's a pattern here. My gut feeling for this fight is that Del Boy, the more chairs, the more he does, the less he does in the ring. Del Boy will be lethal one day when he just comes to a fight, shows up at the press conference, shakes hands, then shows up on the night and fights his heart out. He hasn't managed to get that combination right yet. My gut feeling is that it goes to full 12,
right,
believe it or not, and that Dillian White wins on points.
Interesting. Dillian White by decision is 13-8. So again, a nice little price that. We've got this is already massive, Buncey. We haven't even put the sixth one in here, and it's already a massive.
Yeah, well, how about that, mate?
Let's have a look at the big one then, shall we? Anthony Joshua, 17 wins, 17 stoppages. 15 of those 17 have been inside three rounds. Of course, we talked about Dillian White, which went further than that, of course. And he's starting to find opponents who do take him a little bit further now, Buncey. He's up against Eric Molina, who's been almost painted as a no-hoper here. The odds would obviously suggest that as well. When you look at the price here, 1-33 for Anthony Joshua. Eric Molina is 12-1. We've got loads of markets on this fight, sponsored by William Hill, of course, at the MEN. But Molina's been in with some decent guys here. I mean, you know, he's just beaten Thomas Adamack, who's got, you know, 54 fights under his belt. Obviously, you know, coming towards the end of his career, he's been in with...
In the last two years, Adamack's beaten... In the last two or three years, he's beaten guys that have fought world titles. Alex Spitzker and Vyacheslav Gladkov. He beat them, didn't get his title look, which is bizarre.
Been in with Deontay Wilder, of course, who we know is the WBC World Heavyweight title holder. He's been in with decent fighters. Chris Areola, of course, as well.
Yep.
Chris Areola stopped him early. I think he stopped him in the first round, didn't he? But he went a few rounds with Wilder, and he's been around the block a bit. You know, you don't fight 28 times and not learn a little bit along the way. No. I mean, whether he wins or not, Buncey, has he been underestimated here, Molina?
No, he's been massively underestimated. And in fact, there's a little bit of a pattern here. It is quite interesting if you look at it. And I'll tell you for why, okay? When he beat Adamek, right, he was behind on all three scorecards, stopped him in the 10th, okay? When he got done by Deontay Wilder had run out of ideas. And what's more, okay, he had been over twice against Deontay Wilder, okay? But he was dropped, if I'm not mistaken, early in the fight, okay? I think he was over... He's over in 4 and 5. He gets stopped in 9. So he's been done in 4 or 5 by one of the most lethal punching heavyweights at the moment, the last decade or so. Okay, he then survives round 6, 7, 8, and 9 without going down. So we know he's durable. We know he's brave. We know he's game. Okay, we know all of those things. All right, he's big enough, 6'4". His reach is only a couple of inches shorter. I'm telling you, this might not be the massacre everyone thinks. Now, we saw Anthony Joshua, who at the fight against Dillian White. Now, what people forget is in his last fight, his first defense against Dominic Brazil, who was unbeaten. What Brazil did was not engage. Brazil used his brain a little bit. Had he had a little bit more desire and had he had a little bit more natural fitness, and if he was a natural boxer instead of a converted American footballer, who knows what might have happened? Because at the time of that stoppage, he was just starting to read Joshua. And Joshua had run through every single thing he'd been taught in the gym. Because Joshua is still a novice. He's a terrific novice. He's the best heavyweight novice in history. If you want to know the honest truth, he's the best 17-bout heavyweight probably since Mike Tyson. That's a bottom line. That's a fact. But he is a novice. So at a time when he should be having fights with American, terrific American survivors who are turning him inside out and making him work 10 rounds without landing a clean punch, guys like Bone Crusher Smith, at the time when he should be doing that, he's not. He's defending his title against unbeaten guys, defending his title against good guys. Eric Molina might just know enough to make this a very interesting fight. The sensible money is that Joshua gets to him a bit earlier than Wilder got to him. That's the sensible money. But I am telling you, if this goes into the seventh or eighth round, all bets are off, Lee.
Yeah, because I mean,
if this goes past six or seven, all bets are off.
Yeah, because we're still. I mean, I know you agree with this, Buncey, but there's still a lot of worry about his tank. It's that Bruno thing. You know, anyone who's not old enough to have watched Bruno's career, that whole idea of him not having it in the tank to go the full distance. When you look at Molina, you know, he's been six, he's been eight, he's been 10, he's been 12. He's been in lots of different types of fights, hasn't he?
Yes. And as I say, he was losing and he stopped the guy in the 10th.
Yeah.
He got to the 9th against Wilder, having been dropped twice, four rounds earlier. He's nothing wrong with his heart and chin, what if it goes four or five rounds, six rounds? I tell you, it's an interesting plus, and we've heard all sorts of rumours about Joshua in training. All sorts of rumours that he's not happy, he's not content. Molina was the least dangerous of the men on the hit list. He was the safest option of the men on the hit list. No one that could pull out a dangerous single punch was ever going to be selected. He's been selected for his lack of danger.
Mm-hmm.
I am telling you, Joshua has had some problems in this camp. He's just not been himself, not been happy. You know why? I think the big lag's fatigued. I think he's cream crackered.
Do you know the other thing, Bunchy, as well? I mean, you know, being a boxing fan, and you know, you start to look beyond the fighting. You start to look at what happens in the head for fighters. You know, you think Mike Tyson was unbeatable, Roberto Duran was unbeatable. The many fighters who people have gone, this guy can't be beaten. Triple G now can't be beaten. It's the mental side that gets them beat eventually, isn't it? Because something happens out of the ring that just turns them off, or the hunger goes. I'm not saying that's happening with Joshua, but I've watched a couple of interviews where he's actually said, and it's very un-Joshua-like. He's actually said. He's talking about the Klitschko fight. He's talking about the Hay fight. And the actual interviewer, I think it was Coogan Cassius, actually said, you've got Molina first. And he was like, yeah. I've got to beat Molina first. But he's already looking past this fight. And he's never done that before.
No, and he's looking past this fight because he's looking at unbelievable riches and wealth down the line past this. It's an interesting situation. He might come out there and walk through him in a couple of rounds. That would be a good win. Let's get that right. Yeah. If he walks through in a couple of rounds, a good win. My gut feeling is he gets to him by six. If he doesn't get to him by six or seven, that's an interesting fight because we know Molina likes later in the fight. We know Molina's got the hearts and the guts and that kind of build that makes him a danger down the line. Yeah. I tell you, it's a better fight than the idiots are giving it credit for.
There's some knockdown specials here. Molina to be knocked down is 1-14. That's just to be knocked down in the fight. But you're looking at there's loads of different specials as well. When will the fight end? You can back it to end in a certain round, either fighter that is. So there's loads of specials to have a look at there on the website, on the app, or pop into your William Hill shop. You still think it'll be 18-18 by the end of setting it out there, Buncey? Rounds. If we're looking at bunching three rounds together, rounds 4, 5, and 6 for an Anthony Joshua stoppage is priced up at 2-1.
Yeah, that's it.
Yeah, there we go. That's six fights we've done, Buncey. I've put them all in an accumulator. I'll run through them all. Callum Smith in rounds 1, 2, or 3. Scott Quigg by stoppage, full stop. Burton by decision. Yafai by stoppage. White by decision. And Joshua in rounds 4, 5, or 6.
Yeah.
That comes out at 326-1. That's worth a
get
quid.
Get in, my son.
I tell you what, if you have a quid on that and it lands and you get your pay for your Sky box office and all your mates in the street as well. Yeah, 327 quid you get back for having a quid on that acca that Bunty's put together. So very
I
nice.
Like that one.
Yeah, I like it as well, Bunty. Well, enjoy
makes
the night.
Me chuckle.
Hopefully we don't have too many histrionics before the fight. It's all I think they're going to split the White and Chisora up at the weigh-in. There's going to be half an hour between them at the weigh-in, so there's no more of that, but we want to see some fireworks in the ring on Saturday night, Bunty, don't we?
Yeah, we do indeed. Lee, it's been a pleasure.
Cheers, Bunty.
You can get the latest odds, offers and more great content at williamhill.com, on the William Hill app and in any of our shops around the UK.